a very good Friday morning to you here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Somewhat crisp spring morning, but it's going to warm up, and spring certainly has sprung as we get ready to transform into the month of May. Adam Lepp here, co-hosting, engineering, and otherwise sitting in and, I guess, proctoring the pastor spot with Stephen Whitaker. We just call him Pastor Steve, with a special guest whom he will introduce also as we get ready to end the month of April. Pastor Steve, how are you doing on this fine Friday morning?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I to be honest with you, I'm kind of rattled. It's been a man, I don't know. I think I just need to chill out a little bit and just I've got a nephew getting ready to come off of a 3-month sabbatical. I think I need to start one. Hey, Tim Steele's with me this morning. Say hi, Tim.
Good morning, everybody.
Frank this morning is Frank is out today, and he's out eating Frank's. But anyway, good morning, everyone. It's good to have you. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker with the Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our phone number there is 740-494-2222. If you want to give us a call sometime. Hey, if you want to call in here today and with a prayer request or anything, our number here is 740-383-9944. And so please call in. I'm going to open us in prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the safety of all of us getting here today. Be with Marion as a town and our surrounding towns of all that are within reach. Lord, that we would just recognize you for the loving God and Savior that you are, and give us strength this day. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Let's see where we're at today. I'm going to, Tim, I don't know if you've been able to listen much lately, but I have been. I know you've been at work. I've been talking about the renewal of America and what we really need to do. We'll call this session today, we'll call it Getting Down to Brass Tacks. And I wonder where that saying came from, getting down to brass tacks. You have any idea, Adam?
Maybe like horses and or railroad ties when tacks were used for
not brass, for railroads.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shows what I know, being a suburban boy.
Getting down, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. It could be a suburban thing. I know they use brass tacks in upholstery, but I don't know. Hard to tell. But anyway, I guess without the brass tacks, you couldn't get any upholstery done.
Maybe shoes.
Ah, shoes. Could be. But anyway, beautiful day today. Beautiful day outside. I hear it's going to rain again. I know the farmers are sneaking in the fields, you know, quite a bit. I was over in visiting an Amish friend yesterday, or the day before yesterday, and he said something about getting ready to get in the field. And I thought, get in the field? I mean, you know, it's too, nobody can work any ground. It's too wet, those tractors. And when I was going over there the next day, I saw a bunch of them in the field, and I realized these guys are using teams of horses. You know, they can get in a lot easier. It's not like tractors. You know, they were getting
true,
breaking up all those clods and working away, and yeah, they're ready to really get at it. But anyway, so we've been talking to him about getting down to things that are going to actually make things better. It's so easy to be on these shows or in public or, quite frankly, sometimes even in a pulpit, turn into a talking head that doesn't challenge people to respond to anything. We just talk about all the negativity. I mean, I could start out this morning and I could just start listing things to get us on any particular subject. And let's see, what could I talk about? I could talk about the border. I could talk about Hunter Biden. I could talk about, I don't want to talk about Hunter Biden. But I could talk about things going on, the controversies in the school, our states, our elections, you know, on and on. But we could talk about that, and we could vent about that all day long, but would we accomplish anything?
Not really. Not unless you got a suggestion.
Well, you know.
Or a solution. It's not a suggestion, it's a solution.
Well, my solution has been, lately in talking on this show the last couple weeks, has been restoring America and doing it one block at a time and one town at a time. And the subject that's come out of that has been the fact that we left it one block at a time and one town at a time. And it's very interesting, as we increased in our ability to do mass media, and as we increased our ability to travel with cars and vehicles. Let me ask you a question, Tim. How many cars did you have as a kid growing up, your parents?
For most time, we only had one, and at one point we got rid of a big Chrysler Plymouth station wagon, and my mom and dad came home with two Ford Pintos.
Oh, that's great. That's great. At least they didn't get hit in the rear end and blow up. You'd have to be all right to get that joke.
Yeah, it's true.
I had a Ford Pinto. I had a canary yellow Ford Pinto.
One of ours was canary yellow, and the other one was brown, and that was my first car, was a Ford Pinto.
But anyway, the reason I ask that question is, you know, I can remember most of the time growing up us having one car. We a lot of times had two because one was always broke and you had to bounce back and forth. But my point being that as we got busy and as everyone got cars and traveling, we started going further distances and doing and attending church further away and doing things outside of our communities, moving away, getting jobs in further distances. We became a much more mobile society. And I'm one that would have to say that I'm not sure that's been a good thing. And we'll get to that in a minute. I'm in Colossians this morning, chapter 3. And it says, since, of course, this is, of course, Paul teaching the church at Colossae. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Okay, so what it's talking about, you belong in Christ, you've given your life to Christ. Act like it. Be like it. Want to adopt and adapt to his nature, not our earthly nature. And then he mentions some things in our earthly nature, of course. What's he mention here? Sexual immorality, which we see every day and everywhere. Impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Greed, wanting, got to have this, got to have that.
Yeah.
Greed. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. It says you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. So what we're talking about here, and I'm sorry if I was away from the phone, I'll try to get a little closer, or away from the mic, I mean. We have a new nature in Christ. We should act that way. But I think that the ability for us to travel more, to go places, to do things, media, all those things, the idolatry that he talks about, being able to buy more things, have more things, I think that other than basic credit lines that people used to carry, sometimes for groceries in towns or, I think our mass credit hurt us too.
Yeah.
I think it pulled us away from the things that kept us in an area where it was a little easier to try to be more Christ-like. And when I talk about being Christ-like, one of the things I'm talking about is being able to love and care about your neighbor. Putting away those things, the anger, the wrath, you know, the constantly backbiting, needing to get even, my way or the highway. And, you know, we even see that overloaded in the church sometimes. You know, I got up my way, or I'll just pick up and take my toys and go somewhere else. We talk about sometimes in church, we talk about the mentality today is kind of like shopping for a church. We didn't used to shop for churches. There was one where we lived and we went.
Yeah, you went. The neighborhood church is where you spent all your time.
It was that body of Christ responsibility to keep that church in check where it was supposed to be and make sure that they were following Christ, being Christ-like, doing what they should, caring about their neighbors. And, you know, what I was getting at in Restoring America is we live in this society. You guys know what a corporate raider is, right? Corporate raider goes in and they'll either build a company up or they'll just shut it down and get rid of it. But they go in and the bottom line is dollars and cents, and they make do what makes sense, and everything else can just go blow. It's all about money. We've kind of kind of done the same thing in our neighborhoods and our societies. We've tried to do the bigger the better, the beautiful, looks great, sounds great, all these things. But in the process, when you go do your corporate rating in a town that's had a company for years, and maybe they don't have the highest margin in profit, but they're doing okay. You know, you don't always take into consideration that company was supporting 100 employees and their families.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens in the church. When we look at the church in that way, in our neighborhoods in that way, we don't always take into consideration that that neighbor was supporting the weak in that town or in the neighborhood. That church was supporting the community spirit of loving your neighbor. The community spirit of cooperation, the community spirit of knowing what's going on next door to you. And as we pulled away from that in America, a lot of people now, when you lose interest in the church that you're going to, or you have a problem, what people do. I mean, people have a problem with everything anymore. But what happens is, say they're going to church 30 miles away, and they've disconnected from their community completely, or they've never gotten connected. We've gone down that road far enough now where people don't even get connected. And then they stop going to church. They don't have that community to fall back on either. They don't have either one. And then, you know, there's nothing, I don't think any of there's anything much more lonely than being an island unto yourself. And we become that. And then we try to look for another place to go to try to make, is this thing moving on us? I think it's rolling all over the place. But anyway, I just think that if we look at things, and let's just stop, and I've encouraged people to let me know if you want to get a neighborhood ministry started. I'll try to help you any way I can.
Yeah.
And with recommendations, with prayer, with finding avenues for you to go to get material. It can be done. Community Christian Fellowship is proof of that. We started as a neighborhood ministry. And we are a very well-established church now. We're going into our 17th year, Tim, something of that effect.
Yeah.
So, but the point is that I think that if we're going to revive this country, we're going to do it a block at a time. We're going to do it a small town at a time. When I talk about a block at a time, look around you. Look at a square block. How many houses do you think are on a city block? Maybe 30?
Yeah, 30.
30? Take a block or two or three blocks, 30, kind of like 90 houses. You know, if somebody decided that they wanted to be their brother's keeper on that block or be a shepherd on that block, and they knew the Word of God and they were willing to, they'd have to have some backbone. And they'd have to probably be willing to take some criticism. But see, the thing is, we're doing it for Christ. We don't worry about that criticism anyway, right?
Correct.
So, say, you know what? I'm going to start something in my neighborhood. And I'm going to see what we can get. Just start going door to door and saying, hey. Or make some, put some flyers up. I'm going to start a Bible study at so-and-so's house. If you're interested, give me a call. And then it's up to you to do a screening and a process and see who you got and what you have. And that's kind of how things get going. That's what happens. You know, when I know that when the apostles and different other disciples, you know, were spreading the Word of God in the early first century church, they just went into a town. And for usually the first thing they did is they go straight to the synagogue or the temple or a place to preach from and say, here we are and here's the message. And it's kind of that attitude that we need to reestablish. But let's look at some positive things that doing that brings along. Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Barry. Hey, Barry, give me a call when you get at about 10 o'clock, 10:15, would you? I need to ask you something. Thank you for checking in this morning. But anyway, I think that there is some benefits. So let's look at this a minute, Tim. What would be some benefits of, in Marion, Ohio, say that I'll just go out the door here, out the back door, here on South Prospect Street, and say somebody two doors down wanted to say, you know what, I think this is a good idea. Maybe we need to start a neighborhood ministry and get something going. And maybe there's a church setting that no one's using, or one that's only got a few people in it that could usually use some people.
Yeah.
So what would be some benefits of that, would you say?
Well, like you said, it'd bring you closer together. You would know what's going on in your little neighborhood. You would know who needs what help, who can help, or who's available to help. You would, you know, you get to know everybody, and when somebody wasn't there or you didn't see somebody, you would figure, hey, something's going on. I need to go check on this person. So, I mean, it's just that watching each other, knowing what's going on, helping each other. I mean,
so what groups of people might that help?
Well, it could help the elderly. It could help the single mom, the single dad. You know, if you have a disabled person, a disabled vet that's having troubles. It's all kinds. Kids, yeah. Good point. Kids are a huge part because they're learning age and impressionable. And they need to have a good, solid base teaching of
truth,
Christ in the community. They're all there to help each other.
So let's look at some of these. We've got shut-ins that maybe for the first time could have people that would stop and check on them, or share with them, or listen to their concerns. Ask them if they'd like to pray or things to pray. You know how many shut-ins
just to have somebody come talk to them.
Yeah, I've got one, too, that's kind of interesting. You know, in a lot of churches, most churches, any good Bible-believing church, people regularly take communion, the elements.
Yes.
And a lot of people get old and can't go anywhere. There's no one helping them doing that with them. And that's just one of the aspects that I think is a great thing. But, you know, the thing of, somebody that is scared, maybe they're getting a phone call from someone trying to fleece them, you know. The whole point is you've got that community connection.
Yeah.
You know when people are sick, you know when their kids are in trouble, you know who their kids are, you know, to keep an eye. You know, there's that. And here's the problem in America. We have lost our community connection. So we pulled back and we become our own selves that are concerned about our own selves, not concerned about other people. We don't want people to get in our business. We don't want people knowing anything about us. And that's not the way people were meant to be. And we go for our own entertainment and what we like. I get so tired of hearing people tell me, you know, when they're going to go to a church, what kind of music they like. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, if we're going to teach the Word of God and teach what God wants us, when I was talking about any, I want to show you, if I can go all through the whole New Testament, I would show you that no matter what, when it talks about leaving old self behind and going to new self, it never mentions what kind of music we like. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Being Christ-like never mentions music. But it has become the central point of our churches today. I recently talked to a young lady that left her youth group that was no fun, I guess, because they were a bunch of people that weren't with it. And she went to a church that has the greatest praise band. And I'm like, where do I find that in the Bible? Now, I know there's things we like and don't like, but are we basing who we are and what we do on the genre of music we like? I mean, granted, no one likes to stand in a church and the music be so dry that you just wish that last verse would finish so you could go to sleep. But the whole point of praising God is in a praise spirit and praising God, no matter how you do it, or lifting your voices to the Lord and praying. But I think that it's become way too much of a focal point in our churches. It's caused more division than anything in my lifetime. In my lifetime, growing up in church and being around the church, if I had to point to a single thing that caused the most division in a church, it always comes back to music and media every time.
Yep.
Every time. So whether or not it's good or bad, as Satan used it, who you better believe it. And I think that leaves room for egos. It leaves a lot of room for a lot of things. I love good music, and I try to tell people that when I'm talking about this, because I think, man, he's a sourpuss. No, I love music. I probably more than most people. But I don't think that it belongs as the central point of our what we do in the Lord, because growth doesn't come from music. Growth comes from studying the Word of God and surrendering to God and what He lays on your heart to do. And but anyway, that's just one of the things that we do. But why are we doing this? I call it hit and run Christianity. Because we can just run in, get filled, and leave.
Yeah, fill up my tank for the week.
Fill my tank for the week and I'm out of here. Hey, we got 45 minutes. You better be good. Music sounded great today. Said hi to the people I need to say hi to. I touched base. Pastor saw me, which in some of these churches, pastor will never see you. But the pastor's, so I'm good for the next week. And no, you're not. I don't know what you just did, but that's not called a walk with Christ.
No.
Not if that's all you're doing. Now, if that's what you're doing, but you're continuing that ministry in your life and with the Lord throughout the week, every day, you're great. But we have become such a hit-skip society. You know, growing up, I had to be in by dinner time or I went hungry. Now we just zip through a drive-thru.
Yeah.
And all these things that we do, everything is grab and go, grab and go, grab and go. Friendships have a tendency to become grab and go. If things aren't getting along with this friend, oh well. And you go, you know, whatever happened to lifelong friendships with people and connections with your neighbor, connections with your neighborhood. So those are some of the things that, you know, I think that we miss. If we don't get back the nuclear family in this country, the family that we're supposed to have, that with that nucleus being the way it's supposed to be, and start working back towards that. I'm not putting down the families that don't have their traditional family, because quite frankly, I think it's 60% today, minimum of 60% are not traditional families in our country today. And what I'm saying is, even though we make those work the best that we can, and even though we can have a wonderful family and serve God in those families, I don't think that's what we should be striving for. We should be striving for the family. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the show that families that grew up without a father in the home, that how much higher the percentage is of young people that fall into crime. Well, why is that? Well, because the family was always an area of stability in most cases. Now, you're going to find exceptions. You know, some people could call and say, oh, Pastor, my family was anything but stable, and we were a mom and dad. And yeah, you're going to have that. But basically, you had that stable nuclear family. And so we need to work back towards that. We need to come back to realizing the importance of a neighbor, of a friend, the importance of the church and the role in it. We need pastors that are more concerned about knowing their community than knowing their check balance. Of course, they need to know that too.
Yeah.
Or they'll get in trouble. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think, and guys, I'm sorry out there, many of you are going to completely disagree with me. I think that many of our pastors are making way too much money. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because with that amount of money being made comes the temptation for the idolatry.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Comes the temptation for the greed. Comes the temptation for it to be more about me. And I know A lot of people will disagree with me on that, but you know, when I read the works of the old of the old spiritual greats, you know, they talk about that, how it was just something that we got to be careful that we don't begin to idolize what we have, and want more and more and more. And you know, the pastor, of course, you should take care of him. The pastor shouldn't have to go into study for his message or anything else, worrying about how he's going to pay the rent the next day. But I think that responsibility lies as much on him as it does on the church.
Yeah.
And what he does with it. And I think today we spend way too much money. You know, the I read something recently of the really large, huge churches that, like, 90% of their income goes to pay staff and facilities. 90% of the money goes to pay staff and facilities. What are we seeing here? Frank wrote something in here. I'm going to read what Frankie put in here. What's he saying? It says, corporate America is taking over many of the churches. We install those in positions just because that might be their job outside. However, they stifle the working of the Holy Spirit based on a bank account. Well, that's interesting. Thanks for that comment, Frank. I think possibly. That certainly happens. I think that we talk about trust and faith a lot, but we usually want to make sure that we got it covered, and then we'll talk about trust and faith. Faith and trust is saying, okay, God, you got this. And saying, I'm going to do everything responsible I need to in the meantime, but I'm not going to say work it out by tomorrow or I'll do it on my own.
Sure you do.
But I think we work it out with God, and that's the whole thing too. As we begin to work in our communities again and revive the local church in our small towns, you know, we can share things with people that will help them live. That was always part of the church, was helping people mature, discipling, mentoring, all those things. And you knew the people that were mentoring you, they knew your kids. And people said, oh, you wanted to go back to something old-fashioned. Folks, I got to tell you something, old-fashioned worked.
Yeah, it did.
I don't believe Hollywood. Not every guy in the 1950s and 60s wore a tank top white, they call them wife beater t-shirts, laid around belching and asking for beer and slapping his wife. I mean, that's just not the way it really happened.
No.
And it's just like, I'll give you guys another real good example. If you're young, you won't even believe this. But in the 60s, if you talk about the 60s today to anybody, the first picture that comes into their mind are hippies.
Yep.
Tie-dye. You know, everything that went with it. I got news for you. 2% of the population, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 2% of the population. But because of Hollywood and what people have done over the years, everyone thinks that everyone in the 60s, that's just what they did. And it's not true. Actually, the most common attire in the 60s would have been a suit. A suit for men and for young people would have been a nice, clean pair of jeans with a button-up polo shirt and a crew cut or a clean-on-the-sides haircut was probably the most common thing. But see, Hollywood makes things look different than they were. I hear about how bad women had it. Oh, please. I mean, I grew up in that era. I remember it. There were always women that didn't have it well, but I don't know of any woman when I was growing up that was ever stopped from doing anything she tried to do, whether it was going to college, whether it was becoming something, becoming anything she wanted to be. And if she wanted to stay home, she wasn't ridiculed for it. And she was able to. And I think there's your key, too, is that we have, because of what we've done in society, we've almost forced a two-person income. So what does that do with the nurturing of those kids?
You know, the kids farming it off to somebody else.
Farming it off to somebody else. And you may be farming it off to someone that is abusing your kids, not teaching what you would teach. You know, you're just trying to find someone to watch them so you can get to work. And I know that I found with our kids growing up, we had a babysitter that was being abusive to the kids. We didn't find out till later when the kids told us about it much years later because they were afraid to tell us she had them that afraid.
Wow.
And so the point being, it wasn't as bad as they're pointing it out to be. You know the old saying of the Virginia Slim cigarette commercial, you've come a long way, baby. Well, I would say you've fallen a long way, sweetie. Because I'm going to tell you something, women have done more falling, in my opinion, than raising, in when it comes to socially. If you look at the amount of domestic violence today, they'll say, well, back then they didn't report it. I didn't want to hear it. The amount of it today is astronomical. I see it in the neighborhoods. I hear it in the neighborhoods. You hear through people what they say. The amount of abuse with kids, walk in any store. You walk around just a few minutes, you're going to hear a mom screaming at a kid, calling him a stupid blankety blankety this and that. I never heard that stuff growing up.
No.
Never. I've never saw guys that walked out on their women and left them with kids and just did it repeatedly and refused, you know, laid at home and played video games while the wife or the girlfriend's out working. You know, don't tell me you've come a long way, because the respect for women and the love for women and who God made them to be has not progressed, it's digressed. And granted, we need some equalization of pay and things that had to happen. And you know, and then they have happened. I mean, we have women all over corporate America today. And so, but what I'm saying is, the old worked.
Yeah.
It truly did.
It's kind of one of those things, you know, I get labeled as a male chauvinist pig. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And we're always trying to fix something. And the truth is, ladies, I'm going to tell you something out there. It may sound like Tim and I are talking as male chauvinists, but we have to be honest about something, too. And that's the fact that there's one thing that never changes. Men can have the buck stops here, be the head of their household, and basically take that weight on their shoulders because that's who they've been designed to be. But women will never, ever stop wearing the pants in the family.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get that. No, the truth of the matter is, I say that jokingly, but any man that loves his wife and is in a relationship wants to please his wife. And if his wife has a desire for a direction, they're going to work it out. And I know that in most cases, the wife usually gets her way. And I'm just saying from experience, from watching. People around me growing up through over the years, usually the wife gets away. And it's for whatever reason. I think it's because her husband loves his wife.
Well, it's also that saying, you know, happy wife, happy life.
Absolutely. Well, we actually have a Bible passage that said, you know, if you have a contentious wife, to go live on the corner of your roof, because it's better to live on the corner of your roof than with a contentious wife. So the point being that, you know, we can joke all we want about these guys about being, I'm the master of my house. Any guy doing that is just not worth his grain. He ain't worth his salt.
No.
Because that's not the way it's supposed to operate. You know, this iron-fisted husband stuff. And it never did, really, in history. I mean, I'm sure it certainly does in Muslim America today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's really funny. Our media thumbs its nose up at the church and Christianity and calls them chauvinists and this and that. They embrace Islam, and Islam is definitely, you know, that's part of what they do. I mean, women are subservient. I talked to several years ago a guy that was, actually I was in a training session down at your building at OSU, and it was for getting some of my, credits.
GEDs, credits?
No, continuing education.
ECEs.
Medical stuff. And I was talking to there was a guy addressing us that had been working in a field hospital in Afghanistan. He'd been several tours there. And he explained to us how, it was really sad because the men would from the villages around would come for medical treatment, and the Americans were glad to give it to them. Yeah, well, any of the force, the even the NATO forces were, and but they would bring their sons for medical treatment. They'd never bring their women. The only time they ever brought, he said that one of the rare times, one of the village leaders brought in a little girl, and this was sad. He had pictures of her. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Brought a little girl in, and she had gangrene in her arm. And what had happened was she had injured her arm, cut her arm pretty good. And this guy had seen them use tourniquets in the field and thought that he should put a tourniquet on it. Well, all he did was cut off blood supply, causing the gangrene. So they brought this little girl in. She's about 9 years old. She's a beautiful little girl. And I told him, can you fix this? And they said, you know, we're going to need to cut her arm off, but we can fix it. But if we don't cut her arm off, she's not going to be here in a couple of days. There's gangrene in her arm. And he said, absolutely not. No, he wouldn't let her. And they said, why? She's going to die. He says, I'll take her back home and take my chances on her living. He said, if I let you cut her arm off, she'll be barely worth a goat.
Wow.
If she has an arm, she's worth five goats. And so they put her, he had pictures of her, they put her in, cleaned her up and gave her a pretty little, I think it was a Mickey Mouse nightgown or something to that effect, in a toy to send her home with, and she died 2 days later. But see, this is what I don't understand. Why does our media condemn Christianity and call us chauvinists, women haters, all these things, but they support people that do that? I'll tell you why, because it's not about women, it's not about men, it's about rejecting God and what God's standards are and what God says.
Yep.
So it's a matter of getting back to our communities. Frank's writing us in again. He says, we know that God causes all things to work together for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Absolutely. And they will work together. And we don't need these outside things to always stimulate us. If you take the money that people spend, that Christians, this is interesting, if you take the money that Christians alone spend on entertainment, different entertainments they do throughout the year, and if you even took half of that money and they put it towards actually things that would serve the community and the church, I mean really, really put them into them, it would solve so many problems so fast. But we've drained our community of our resources. We drain our smaller churches of resources. And everybody goes to the bigger, the better, and gets all excited. And you're leaving, you know. God calls us to take care of our communities and those around us. They're our family. And we're abandoning our families. And I think that we have to wake up and realize we can't be doing that. So I'm calling on you out there. Start something in your community. Please call me. You know, I've told you many times, our number is 740-494-2222. Call, leave me a message to call you. I'd be glad to talk to you. As long as you're willing to do something that's centered on the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, and you want to see your neighborhood revived, and what can you do to help, do it.
Yep.
If you're capable and there's not anything working in your neighborhood, start doing it. There's so many things, you know. I remember, several years ago, when we had a group of kids come in from South Carolina. We shared a mission trips back and forth. We were in like a 5-year partnership with this church. And they came in and we spent a week with pickup trucks and kids. They cleaned Battle Run in Prospect from one end to the other, which is a pretty long creek. They walked the alleys. They cleaned the alleys. I mean, we took pickup truckload after pickup truckload of garbage and trash. And do you know that for the next few years after that, we had a Creation Care Day and we went out and did that stuff. But something we found that was quite interesting, we found that there was less and less stuff in the alleys. And there's less and less stuff in the creek. Because once people saw things happening in their community, they quit throwing it in the community. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I'm asking people to help us quit throwing things in the community. Look, if you've got a property in your town or around you, and you're keeping it an eyesore, and you don't care, that's exactly what it is. It's not caring. And it's not caring about the people around you. It can be dangerous. It can be a health hazard. It can be all these things. But if you just get out there and show that you care and start cleaning up, and people do that, it'll. What's the old song we sang? It was a folk song, and it only takes a spark to get a fire going.
Yeah.
Soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you experience. I want the world to know the love of God. You know, and love comes in all forms. It comes in helping people. It comes with... People say that, you know, everybody, you can't even... Well, no one even wants to speak to you anymore. Well, you know what? I still hold the door for people.
I was just thinking that that's the... You're talking about, you know, getting out into community. And the easiest thing for you to do to get your community started is just when you see people, speak to them. Just like you said, neighbors don't know... Neighbors, I mean, I'm just guilty too.
Oh, I am too. To a point, I talk to my neighbors. I need to do more this summer, I think, in getting out and talking with them. But you know, I've got a neighbor behind me that has been battling cancer, and you know, we talk. I go and see him, check on him, and pray for him. Let him know I'm praying for him, and we do that stuff. Ask if he has any needs. He does have a very helpful, loving, responsible family that's there for him. And so that's good, and that everyone should have that. But see, the thing is, when they need support and they need help, the helpers need help. And when there's not that help and you do need the help, if we have those community-based churches once again and churches in our towns, they get the help. When it's abandoned, they don't. I am so tired of seeing all this money pumped into things just to make things look like they're a concert venue. And people, you know, hey, look how cool I am. I go to this place. Guys, I got to tell you something. God's not in that.
No.
I don't believe that God's in that. God is in us working. It's not glamorous. I'll give you that. You know, you're not going to get some big name for yourself where everybody knows your name when you're sweating it out in a small community. But who cares? My reward's in heaven. It's not here. You know, I'm trying to elevate the name of Jesus, not elevate the name of Steve or Tim or Frank or anyone. You know, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should be, you know, and also, you know, you work in a ministry where everyone shares not only in the work, but they share in the love and the caring, and everyone knows them.
True.
You know, I want people to know the members within our church and what they do because and why they do it. They do it because they love the Lord.
Yes.
I don't want to be some featured person that is held up as some great person that builds huge numbers of people coming to hear great music and hear a little quip for the week. And I'm sorry, that's what I'm seeing most of. And that's what people are coming to me or telling me they're seeing. That's how I know. So, Pastor, you're not even sitting there. No, but I know plenty of people that do. But they still won't make that commitment to do something different because it's so daggone easy. It's easy. You know, don't go to that community of Christian fellowship. That pastor might ask you to do something.
Or he may tell you the truth.
He may tell you something that might convict you. You know, I did something a few weeks ago that was kind of interesting. There's a new couple been coming. I bet they've been there 3 or 4 times. Nice people. But, you know, he was sitting in the front row at the end of the service, and I asked him if he wanted, when it's time to pass the, and that's usually what I do, is where, you know, when it's time to pass the plate at the end of the service, by the way. So if you come and you don't like it, you don't have to give. But anyway, we pass the plate, you know, whoever's right up there close, I'll say, and this guy's a new guy, and I said, and he did. I could have completely blown it there. But, you know, we're a community. It's what we are. I know these people are Christians. I know they know the Lord. You know, hey, he's a brother in Christ. And, you know, so here, you want to pass the plate? I know you're not a member. You know, but you're a member of the body of Christ. So whether you're a signed member here or not isn't what I'm going to freak out over here.
Oh, it makes me feel like he's part of the church community.
He is.
Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah.
So that's
why I sit in the back.
I know it is. You hide. No, you sit in the back, keep an eye on Frank. But, no, anyway, it's called community.
Yeah.
You know, And our church is Community Christian Fellowship, and that's why we started that name 17 years ago, because we wanted to be community. We still want to be community. And we want you to be community. We want you to be where... We want to help you in your endeavor, so please let us know if you need that help. We want to help you get your community revived again. As long as you're teaching the Word of God and teaching truth, that's the basic thing.
Yes.
And you don't have to start with a bunch of money. You don't have to start. Look, we don't want our church in your church. We want your church, God's church in your church, and willing to help. Hey, I love you guys. I'm going to have to get off here in a minute. But we're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Come and visit us if you'd like. We'll help you in any way we can. Our number there is 740-494-2222. Our services are at Bible study at 9:30 and service at 10:30 on Sunday. We have a great Sunday evening Bible study going on right now at great Sunday evening Bible study at 6:30. We have youth group at 6:30. We got several midweek Bible studies and prayer. We're getting ready to kick off. Tim and his wife, this is Tim right here. Tim and his wife will be kicking off a divorce care group. That'll be great. Tim, Sunday night's going to work for you on that?
Yeah, I was told Sunday night's going to work for me.
Okay, Susie said, so there you go. And we're also doing a recovery group, or not, a support group for grandparents raising grandkids and those of like that are doing something similar. Celebrate recovery. We're doing some cool things, but we're doing them because we love God and we love you. And I'm out of here. We're going to have a good day. Adam, got any final words, buddy?
I think a divorce group. Divorce support. I mean, divorce rates at least 50%. When my parents got divorced in the mid late 70s, they said it was 50%. And you know, you don't think of your parents as being divorced. You see that on TV, hear about it from your friends, and now it's like, I meet someone who's, you know, at least teens, and your parents are still married to each other. That's
wow.
Great. And how often do we see that? So
I hope more and more, and I like to see it more and more.
And if divorce is the only option, because there can be breakdown in the marital objects, as I've heard a judge say. It should be done with compassion, especially if there are children and
absolutely.
Pets.
And I want to make this point, also, Adam, that people forget that sometimes, that kids are as deeply involved in the divorce as you are, and don't forget it, because they're the collateral damage that sometimes is very damaged.
It's multidimensional. Thank you for listening.
God bless you guys. We'll see you.
See.